Well, let me start by saying thank you to the elders and the deacons and the treasurer and all who help them. And these men put their time into church, and that's what they're spending their time and energy doing. They're volunteers, and it's the Lord that's put that into their hearts. They do a good job, and they consider it a privilege. So really, it's a thank you not from me, or it's from all of us, and it's really not to them, but it's to the Lord. So let's do that. Let's give thanks to the Lord before we look into his word. Dear Father, we thank you for saving us. We thank you for making us your children, your family, and for giving us the new birth. And we thank you for giving us each other and for putting us here at Trinity Bible Church. Thank you for giving each one of us a ministry, some official and an office that you've laid out in Scripture, and some unofficial, but all serving, all having a part, all necessary. And we thank you that you've opened our hearts to serving one another, because we are serving you. We ask for your help as we open your word together, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the annual meeting is a milestone every year, and a milestone is for measuring progress. So how should we measure the progress of our church at Trinity Bible Church? We could measure it in years. We've completed our 35th year, and that's important. We're still here. That's one way to measure progress. That's good. We can measure it in numbers. Could measure it in finances. Could measure it in baptism. That would be maybe my favorite way if I'm going to choose one of these. But it'd be good to take a spiritual measurement of us as a church. But a spiritual measurement is really hard to take. How do you take a spiritual measurement? How would we put that up on the graph here? Here's where we were last year spiritually. Here's where we were this year spiritually. So it's very hard to quantify. So I want to open the Bible and shed some light on that. Or maybe what I should say is give a different perspective, because I'm not actually going to find a way to take a spiritual measurement. But let me give you a different perspective on a spiritual measurement. And I want to talk about something tonight that's not told to us. There's not much told about it in Scripture to us. We're told a little bit about it, and we're told that we need to know about it. And that's like a number of things in Scripture, like, for example, the torments of hell. We're not told a whole lot about that, but we're told a little about it, and we need to know about it. Or the delights of heaven and the resurrection body and the new heavens and the new earth. We're really not told a lot about that. Told a little bit about it, and we need to know. So you might be a little surprised at my topic for an annual meeting tonight. It's going to be brief, because there's not a lot about this in Scripture, but I think useful too. And the topic is angels. Angels. Angels, as you should know, they are participants in our spiritual battle, both good and evil angels. So both angels that are for you and who are against you, those who are helping you and those who are harming you. So Ephesians 6 says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, power, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Those are the ones that are against us, who are participants in the struggle. Or you can think of the king of Ammon when he came to arrest Elisha, and Elisha's servant was there, and he was afraid. What should we do? And Elisha said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And the servant didn't know what he was talking about. So he said, open his eyes. And he saw the valley filled with chariots of fire around there. So they're participants helping in that case. Or even in Daniel, we learn that angels are even participants in the rise and fall of nations. So think about nations jockeying for position against each other. And actually, the angels participate in some way. We're not told really how, but they participate in that. So angels, they're participants in our spiritual struggle, but they're not only participants, they're also observers. And that's what I wanted to talk about. Not the part about them being participants, but them being observers. That's what I wanted to talk about briefly tonight. Angels, there's a number of names, and probably for the ranks of angels: seraphim, cherubim, thrones, dominions, authorities, powers, principalities, angels, archangel. So there's a vast array of angels on both sides, evil and good. But one title that's given to angels in Daniel, do you remember this one? Watcher. Remember the Watchers? That's one title for the angels. And that's what they do. They are observers of us. Now, that might be kind of an unsettling thought, like your privacy is being invaded as these heavenly watchers are always watching you. And I think it's best not to think of it like a security video camera that's always on and never off of you, but which would be a disturbing thought. But they to point out that they see in a different way than we see, and so that's what I want to. That's the perspective that I want to open your eyes to. There's a different way of seeing than just what a video camera would record about you, and I think that's the way in which the angels observe and they watch. The angels watch us. They watch the church, watch Trinity Bible Church with great interest, the good with great delight. Probably at times some apprehension, surprise involved, amazement involved. And the evil, I think, watch with great dread, knowing that in some sense they're watching their own doom unfolding in some small way, but important way. And so I think they watch with dread. So let me take you to three scriptures briefly that talk about the angels in this capacity of observing. And I think I've chosen the three main ones. There may be more that you could tell me about. But what I'd like you to see about each of these three is, first, that the angels are observers. And then, second, that all of these passages have to do with trials. And I think that's an important part of what the angels are observing, what they're interested, the way in which they're watching us, has to do with us experiencing trials. So that's part of all three of these. First, Ephesians 3, and you might have guessed that one as probably the main one that talks about this. Ephesians 3, and I'll read in verse 8. Paul says, "To me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given, to preach the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ, and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Therefore, I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for therefore your glory." And Paul writes about his ministry here, and I think Paul never really got over the amazement that the least likely people to accept a Jewish Messiah, the Gentiles, were accepting Christ and receiving the unfathomable riches of Christ. And he says, not only is Paul amazed at this great mystery, but the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places, it's being made known to them through the church, the manifold wisdom of God. And it has to do with trials. Here, maybe not the closest connection of the three, but in verse 13, he says, "Therefore, because this wisdom is being manifest to the authorities and angels, both good and evil, therefore I ask you not to lose heart at my tribulations on your behalf, for they are for your glory." Because Paul's tribulations are part of this manifestation to the authorities, to the angels, of the unfathomable riches of Christ coming to him in his ministry. And the same is true for us as well. Then 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 10. "As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiry, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them," the Old Testament prophets, "that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. And so he's explaining the riches of our salvation. And at the end of explaining it, he says, these are things which the angels long to look into. And I think that is just the good angels. He's excluding the evil angels. It's the good angels that long to look into these things. The evil angels may observe against their will, so they're not observing with great eagerness, bending down like these others, but they're observing nonetheless like these. But it's notice also the trials. That's what the prophets were wondering about, is how the sufferings of Christ would relate to the glories of Christ. And that's what's come to the readers of 1 Peter. That's what's come to us as well. The sufferings of Christ and the glories of Christ, and we're participants of both. And that's what the prophets pondered. That's what the angels long to look into. So again, it's how our trials relate to our glory. And then 1 Corinthians, last one. 1 Corinthians 4. And I'll read in verse 8. You are already filled. You've already become rich. You have become kings without us. And indeed, I wish that you had become kings so that we might also reign with you. For I think God has exhibited us apostles last of all, as men condemned to death, because we have become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are prudent in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are without honor. To this present hour, we are both hungry and thirsty and are poorly clothed and roughly treated and are homeless. And we toil, working with our own hands. When we are reviled, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure. When we are slandered, we try to conciliate. We have become as the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even until now. And so we see here, Paul says in verse 9, he talks about the angels observing, angels and men. And he says, I think God has exhibited us at this time, not to be kings at this time. That's what the Corinthians thought. But as men condemned to death, suffering. And he mentions all different kinds of suffering, being reviled, being accused, slandered of things that you didn't do. Because we've become a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. A spectacle of suffering, and yet God's grace is unfathomable riches being poured out to that. The word spectacle, it's just the word theater. That's exactly how it looks and sounds in Greek. And a theater was a place for public assemblies. All the places, the cities that you read about, Ephesus, Philippi, all those places had a theater. And so it was a place for public assemblies where people would gather to see, because the word is based on seeing. But it was also could be used for what was done in the theater. And don't we use it in the same way? We talk about theater, we could mean a place, but we could mean theater, the thing that happens, the thing that's seen in that place. And so Paul says, we've become theater to the world, not the place, but the thing seen in that place to angels and to men. And again, and then he speaks of the theater is of trials, the trials that have come to him and how the Lord is working those things, working his salvation through those things. So when you think about how to measure our progress, how to measure a spiritual measure of our progress, think especially of what the angels are seeing and how they're seeing as well. Think of trials that we go through. The measure is not even our response. I think that's not just the only thing that the angels are watching. That would be if they're just watching like a camera video. But they're able to see more than that. They're able to see not just your response, but God at work supplying you with grace that you need, supplying you with strength in the time of your need, causing you to love him more and more in the midst of those trials. So the angels, they're watching. They're rapt attention, some in delight, some in dread. And let that strange thought, because it is a strange thought, let that be an encouragement to you. as you go through life looking out of your two eyes, they do just function like those video cameras. They just record exactly what they're able to see. But there's another way of seeing. There's a theater. There's a vast audience that sees what we don't see, which is God working through our trials, answering prayers, and working wonders in the midst of our trials. So let's bow in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you that you work not only in the ways that we can think of or comprehend, but that you work in ways that we can't see, that we don't understand, that perhaps the angels have a better insight into than we do. We pray that your grace, that your protection, that your mercy would be upon us for another year. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.